Of course, it's the holiday season, which means lots of eating. How have you been doing, Stephen?
Great. I've been eating. I've been eating.
You've been eating.
I've been eating.
He's been glad to hear it.
Can I make a pitch?
Quickly, yes.
Fresh Direct. Order the whole damn dinner from them, and they just bring it to you, and you put it in the oven, and it's better than you can make.
All right. From the Fresh Direct Foundation, Stephen Dubner. So in the studio with me is John Tierney, who's a science columnist for the New York Times, also with the Freakonomics columnist Stephen Dubner, our friend, who has a very interesting story about why it is that we seem to get fatter, even though in America we have the best information and the healthiest food available to us. And so you did a test that perhaps it's the information we have, John Tierney, that is assisting us in eating more than we should. How does that work?
What happens is we associate what these researchers call a health halo with certain foods. If it's labeled low fat or in my experiment, we were testing trans fat free. And so once we think that we're eating a healthy food, we tend to underestimate its calories and we tend to eat more of it. We tend to indulge more in other things.
So let's talk about this health halo term that you coin, or maybe you don't coin it. But the idea is that the label's intent is to tell us about maybe behaviors we should adopt or foods we should avoid, or maybe foods we should eat over other foods. But the net effect, according to your research, is that it actually is a blanket permission granted to eat as much as you want, is what the label actually says to people.
Right, and it just causes us, and it's not just for foods you buy in stores, it's for restaurants too. The researchers, Pierre Chandon and Brian Wansig, they did studies where they went into Subways and McDonald's and they talked to people. And the Subway people, the diners there, think that Subway's it's got a healthy reputation. They've seen the ads that a Subway sandwich has only one-third fat, as much fat as a McDonald's. And so they tend to think that the food's healthy, and they underestimate how many calories, so that they think that a 1,000-calorie Subway sandwich has only got 500 calories. And so they're more likely to eat more of that. They're more likely to order kind of a large drink that's not, you know, that's a regular Pepsi. They're more likely to get cookies with it. They've done experiments showing that.
So explain how they do the research and what the disparity is between the calories on the healthy side. And you sort of alluded to it, but specifically, what did they discover?
Well, they've done a bunch of studies just with me asking people in the restaurants to estimate the calories. They've done experiments where they give people menus to order from. They did one where the choice was ordering between Jim's hearty sandwiches or the Good Karma healthy foods. And it was exactly the same sandwich. But when people ordered from the Good Karma healthy foods, they would order potato chips with it, and they'd order bigger drinks with it, because they just assumed that.
And see, Stephen, that's real science.
That's
real science.
So, John, I have a question: is it that is it merely that their minds are not working well in the kind of reptilian way that our minds often work? That's what you write about really a lot. Yeah. Is that our minds we think are pretty good, but they're often pretty reptilian. Is it that they're not working well, or is it that they think that the health effect somehow acts as a kind of, buffer?
Equalizer.
Well, it reminds me of like what's called the Peltzman effect in auto safety, which is that if you wear a seatbelt, you're more likely to drive recklessly because you've got added protection. So do we know why people are making that choice, really?
I'm not sure that they know exactly how it's working, but it just kind of you've only got limited sort of brain power for figuring out what's on your plate. And if that's one big piece of information, it's low fat, it's healthy, it just biases you in the other way.
Does it trump everything else, though? I mean, do the foods that are like Good Karma have to also meet some sort of taste thresholds and certain kinds of
sensory? Well, one funny thing they found is that when it's got a healthy label, people assume that it tastes worse. It was maybe one reason that they eat more of it to compensate. So, I mean, in my experiment, we did a thing with trans fat where we showed people this menu and asked them to estimate how many calories were on it. It was an Applebee's chicken salad.
Right.
It had a Pepsi and it had some. And some of the people saw a menu that had trans fat free crackers with it. And then other people saw the menu without the crackers. Well, the people that saw that trans fat free label on the crackers thought their meal had fewer calories than if the meal didn't have crackers at all. It's as if seeing
impossible.
That label magically subtracted calories from their meal.
So it's not likely that if a crate of tofu was labeled, totally healthy, that I would eat that and ignore a single Big Mac that maybe has a tenth of the calories.
Well, you might eat two crates of tofu.
I might eat two crates of tofu.
And then give yourself dessert to reward yourself for it.
So what is the, you know, takeaway? What's the sort of policy implication here? Should the label say, hey, folks, just because it's trans fat doesn't mean you're getting fewer calories, or should labels be worded differently, contain different information, or should we get rid of them altogether?
Well, the libertarian in me is suspicious of labels, but these researchers make a good point, I think, that the information ought to be about how many calories are there, and that's what should be important. It shouldn't be so much what kind of food it is. You should just be able to tell what kind of calories it is. And I think that's especially true because they don't really know what's good for you, researchers, whether fat or carbs. There's been a huge conflict on that. And the idea that we should be banning trans fats or labeling trans fats as being especially bad is, to me, misguided. Just tell people how many calories are in it and let them decide.
So it moves the consumer needle, but there may not be much medical information behind it to really motivate the behaviors on the part of consumers. That's interesting.
Possibly. His advice is when you're in a healthy restaurant and you're ordering a dish, just you may think it's got this healthy halo because the restaurant's got this nice aura that they care. But his advice is try to think of two reasons why this dish might not be healthy. And once people did that in experiments, they found that the halo disappeared. If you just try and think for a second, why might not this be healthy, then that seemed to counteract it.
Portion control. John Tierney, science columnist for The New York Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.